Jesus had been talking and teaching his disciples about the coming kingdom of God. And he was using some pretty apocalyptic words, raining fire and sulfur from heaven and so forth. When his alarmed disciples questioned him about this, he told them this story. So hear now these words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose hope. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that same city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for people, I will grant her justice because this widow keeps bothering me so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of God for the people of God. So the gospel writers don't always give us a nice little sentence at the beginning of scripture telling us exactly what the passage is about. But in this instance, Luke very helpfully begins by stating, in no uncertain terms, this is a parable about praying always and not giving up hope. Why? So that when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. Well, thank you, Luke. That was very helpful. While we might be intrigued by the widow, what is her story? How has she been wronged? Who is her opponent? Is it someone related to her or someone else? How old is she? I picture her in my head as someone old, but that's not necessarily the case. What does her voice sound like? Is it sharp? Is it strident? Is it whiny? Or is it tired? Am I ever in the role of widow? And not really. To tell you the truth, I don't really identify with the widow in this story, but I find her compelling, and I have compassion for her. But the story is not about the widow. And the judge is fascinating, too. Does the fact that he fears neither God nor respects people make him, in fact, a better judge because he is impartial? What does he look like? How is he dressed? What difference does it make that he does the right thing for the wrong reason? Does he still get credit for it? I find myself identifying more with the judge. When do I hear the cries of the oppressed and yet do nothing? And when do I do the right thing for the wrong reason? But this story is not about the judge. The story is about us and our need to pray continually and not lose heart. There are two key elements here, the praying and the not giving up hope. I think the first instruction, the praying, is how we find our way to not giving up hope. Jesus assures us that God will quickly grant justice when we cry out to him. Note that the wording does not say that he will answer our prayers. It says that he will grant justice. But what does that even mean? There is a danger that we fall into about becoming careless with prayer. And I know for me, it is because sometimes it feels like our prayers are not answered, quickly or otherwise. At least, They are not answered in a way that I recognize immediately. So the question is, what good does prayer do? Why should we continually pray when horrible things happen in the world? When people are gunned down while they pray, and it seems like God is not listening. The first answer that I have about why we should continue to pray goes straight to the second instruction, to not lose heart. Prayer has to do with the effect it has on us. According to Nicole Spector in her article, "This Is Your Brain on Prayer," prayer engages the deeper parts of our brain. It disconnects us from the knee-jerk fight or flight reaction to negative and stressful situations. It allows us to take a step back, consider carefully our reactions and our options, and make decisions that are well considered and not destructive or self-destructive. Prayer is helpful for people struggling with addiction because prayer deactivates the action center of our brain. Prayer releases feel-good chemicals in the brain and helps us to self-soothe. These are benefits to prayer, whether we believe that God is listening or not. But as Christians, we do believe that God is listening to us. At least we strive to hold on to the hope that God is listening to us. And what does that mean? It means that prayer is a form of communication. We are talking directly to God. We are in relationship in a clear way with the divine when we are praying. God wants to be in communication with us. God wants to be in relationship with us. Prayer helps us to discern what the will of God is in our lives. It points us in the direction of what we must do. In the inactive state of prayer, we are in fact preparing ourselves for action. Family therapist Dr. Paul Hochemeyer states that one of the purposes of prayer and meditation is to regain our footing so that we can step out into the world and take positive action. We connect, recenter, recharge, and gain the strength necessary to take steps that will create real change. In other words, prayer is the fuel that lights the fire of action. What does this mean for us? Prayer is how we connect to the Holy Spirit and determine what it is that is ours to do in the world. When we pray, we learn to recognize the work of God in the world, which is the first step in joining in that work, in joining in the mission of God for the world. There was a time in my life when prayer was less important to me. Not that I ever completely stopped praying, but my prayers did not necessarily carry with them the belief that they would be answered or that they would do any good. A lot of my prayers were of the lamenting type. Why have you done this to me? Don't you even care about me? But a couple of things happened here at Stone Church that reawakened my prayer life. Some of you might remember that in the year 2000, Andy Morey thought that it would be an excellent idea if someone went up to the Peace Chapel at daybreak every single day for an entire year and prayed for peace. 365 days of people praying for peace. So various people volunteered for a week at a time to walk up the hill to the Peace Chapel in the pre-dawn dark every morning and stand and pray out loud on that hilltop for peace. I signed up with my friend Sharon Franzen for a couple of different weeks, and after the initial bleary-eyed response when my alarm went off at a ridiculously early hour, I found a great deal of comfort and spiritual awakening in that ritual. One day when we were walking back down the hill, Sharon asked me if I thought that we were doing any good going up to the Peace Chapel to pray every morning. My immediate response was that it made me a more peaceful person for doing this. And perhaps that little drop of peace, that little seed of peace, will go out into the world and make it a slightly less violent place. And I still believe that. I believe that individual people achieving more inner peace can't help but make the world a more peaceful place. I also think that our prayers for peace awakened in all of us who took part in it a desire to act in the world in such a way that promotes peace. In that way, our prayers awakened us to the work of God in the world. The other prayer practice that we engaged in here at Stone Church many years ago was the prayer vigil. The sanctuary was open for 24 hours straight, and again, people signed up for different shifts to come into the sanctuary and pray. Everyone in the congregation was invited to write down on index cards specific items that they wanted to pray for. Some of them were quite general, praying for peace in the world, and some of them were heartbreakingly specific. Sitting alone in the sanctuary at 2 a.m. and praying other people's prayers and concerns was a deeply spiritual experience for me. I profoundly felt the presence of the divine as I sat here in the middle of the night, fervently praying another's prayers. And I realized that that's another thing prayer does. It binds us together as a people. Your prayer becomes my prayer. Our prayers become one. Prayer strengthens the church. It strengthens the body of Christ in the world by holding us fast together. And how do we pray? Well, if you were listening to the children's circle time, you know that it doesn't matter how we pray. We can pray anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And we don't even need words. Scripture assures us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know how to pray, with sighs too deep for words. We don't have to worry about the correct form or the correct words or the correct posture. The Spirit knows our hearts. We can pray as we walk. We can pray alone or with others. We can use the labyrinth. We can use a type of meditation. It just doesn't matter. Our prayers can be songs of thanksgiving or cries for help or deep, mournful laments. As long as we journey through our lives with a profound sense that we are in communication with the holy, our entire lives will become a prayer. And we will find that we are able to recognize the will of God in our lives, and we will be better able to respond to it. we can do the right thing for the right reason. So I invite you to enter or re-enter an invigorated prayer life. We will be using a responsive litany from the back of the hymnal for our prayers of the people today. And as we do this, I invite you to try a way of praying that I often use, a visual prayer. As I name each person that we are praying for, I'll leave a few moments of silence. And I ask you to conjure up a clear, distinct image in your mind of that person, an image of them joyful, whole, and at peace. And this will be our prayer today. I invite you to prepare your hearts, your minds, and your spirits to enter this time of prayer. And let us bind ourselves together in a prayer that will become so persistent, so unceasing, so uplifting, so hopeful, that it cannot help but become a reality in the world. In that way, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on this earth.